This morning to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So all of the rush and all of the madness and Christmas is just comes and goes, doesn't it? There's not a thing you can do to slow it down. Some of you that have the 20, and I talked to one family this week that had like 40 some people at their house for Christmas. I said, wow, that you're wondering when, if, you know, is it going to get over soon? Because that's crazy. But we had a great time with our family, and if some of you are wondering, yes, Pastor Dan is out of town this week. He and his family got away for a little bit, so be praying for them. But he'll be back here Sunday, so looking forward to that. He always gets fired up when he's been gone for a week, so we'll be ready to hear him preach next week. But with Christmas, a couple of things came to mind this year. As I was studying and preparing this message before Christmas, I got to thinking about the idea of running a race. And really, as people, we have kind of been ingrained with the idea that everything we've got to hurry up and do. Stick around at 12 o'clock today and we'll watch how everybody tears out the back doors and hits the driveways and tries to get to lunch as fast as you can. I'm hungry too, so I'll be right there with you. But everything we do is in a rush and it's in a hurry. And it's kind of been ingrained that way. Even if opening presents, we noticed at our family that we tried something a little different this year. We tried to have the kids open one present up at a time instead of letting them all just tear into them. They don't like it so much. They'd rather just tear open what they've got. They want to race. How many of you braved the day after Christmas returns yesterday? Hey, there's more in this service than in the 9:30. But I was with you. My family and I went to Target last night to return a couple of gifts. Thankfully, the lines weren't too long. We got through that pretty quick. But as with anybody that has kids, you go to Publix, you go to Walmart, you go to Target. The first thing your kids are looking for when they get there is what? Okay, when the parents tell them that we're not buying you anything, but they know they're going to the store, then they get a what? Cookie. Somebody said it. Yes. Our kids love cookies. Maybe it's just ours. So we go to Target, Walmart, any of those, they want a cookie. So our three want a cookie. And you got to know my three kids. I've got Gracie, who's a little three-year-old. And then we've got Jacob, who is turning 5 in 2 days. And then we have Olivia, who just turned 7. And they love to get a cookie. Well, we're at Target, and I'm walking them down to get a cookie while Colleen's at the return line. And, you know, I tell them no running in the store. So what they do is they get them feet going as fast as they can to where it's not quite a run yet. And lo and behold, the one that's in the front is little Gracie. And so they all know they're going to get to the counter. They're all going to get a cookie, but somehow it still becomes a race. It's just ingrained in us that everything becomes a race. But in the Bible, God uses the word run and ran several times, but the Apostle Paul uses it when he's writing to the churches as an idea of running a race and us running a race. And he uses it in terms of running being the Christian life. And there's a couple examples I want you to see. And on the PowerPoint, it is 1 Corinthians, but I missed the blank. Let me get that first. It says in your handout, the Christian life is described as a race in many of Paul's epistles. And the first one I want you to see is in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" And so what he's doing is he's using the idea of a race as an illustration. And what he's talking to the Corinthians about here in chapter 9 is reaching lost souls. And so he's tying the fact of reaching lost souls with running a race. And he says, "But one receiveth the prize." And then so he tells them, "So run that ye may obtain." He's telling them that, hey, we've got a purpose in this Christian life to run a race reaching lost souls. Let's reach as many as we can. But he also uses it as an illustration over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, when he's dealing with living the Christian life. He uses the word run as an example of living the Christian life. He said, "Ye did run well," talking to the Galatians. If you've ever watched a track meet or an Olympic meet, they start off in a pair of running blocks. They get their feet squared up in those blocks, and they usually, the one thing you want to do as a runner is have a great start out of the blocks. And so the Galatians, he's telling them, "You did run well. Man, you had a great start. But something happened. Who did hinder you," he said, "that ye should not obey the truth?" There was something that took place that interfered with their running of the race. And so we see a couple of times that this running the race is an example, or kind of it's used to describe the Christian life. And we don't have to go there, but in Philippians 2:16, Paul also said that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul's talking about his service to God. He's telling them that he didn't want to have to do it in vain. And so I want you guys to look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me this morning. And we're going to start there in verse 1. But before we do that, let's bow our heads. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you now, Lord. And Lord, God, I just ask now that your word would be able to go out, Lord, with boldness this morning, that it would challenge each and every one of us, Lord, to live a Christian life, Lord, that models and glorifies you in all that we do. Lord, that this life, as your word reveals here, Lord, it has a race. But Lord, it's a race. We don't know where and when the finish line is, but we know there is a finish line. We praise you for that, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open this morning to understand and learn, Father, how we can better endure and run in this race. God, we love you and we thank you in Christ's precious name. Amen. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and say the rest with me, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So the Bible says we have a race that's set before us. And here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, he's writing to Christians, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know him as their personal Savior. And he's telling them that they're running a race. And he puts in there specifically that they need to run that race with patience. Well, as I said a minute ago with our kids opening up presents one by one, we kept having to tell them, be patient. Jacob, be patient. See what your sister's got. Olivia, be patient. See what your brother got. They want to tear it open, but we tell them to be patient. But the word patience here in Hebrews 12:1 isn't the same kind of patience that we use when we tell somebody, hey, slow up and wait. The Bible's not saying, hey, run the race as slow and easy as you can. The word patience means something else, and we see it in verses 2 and 3 also. If you look at those with me in verse 2, and it's speaking of Jesus, in the middle of that verse, it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." And in verse 3, it says, "For consider him," that's Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." That word endured is the same word, or comes from the same root that we got the word patience from in verse 1. So what the Bible is telling us to do is that we need to make sure that we run this race of the faith, this life unto Christ, with endurance. Not quitting, not giving up. It says in your handout, God has called every Christian to endure running the race of faith. We say, why? Simply because he desires for every man to be saved. And he wants us to be involved in that. 1 Timothy 2:4, when he talks about that every man would be saved. So we need to make sure that in this race we endure for the purpose that God has to reach every soul. And he uses us to do that. We are runners. Christ demonstrated what it means to endure for the cause of saving souls. What Christ did enduring it throughout his life up to the point of the cross, giving his life on that cross, was a complete example of us of endurance. Not giving up, not quitting. Went through to the finish. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk." Also so to walk. Even as he walked. Speaking of Christ. Bible says, hey, if we're going to abide in Christ, we need to endure and live a life just as Christ did. Willing to give up as Christ did. Not give up in the race, but willing to give up of ourselves for the glory of God. And so this morning I want you guys to ponder this question. How can you continually run the race of faith? If we're all to endure in this life and endure in this race as a Christian, if we're in here today and you know Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you're in that race, how do we endure through the race? I want to give you three things this morning from Hebrews 12 that I think will be an encouragement to us and a challenge to us to better run this race of endurance. The first thing I want you to see this morning from Hebrews 12:1 is by surrounding yourself with the right people. By surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, I've learned with working with teens through the years that change in person's behavior typically comes with a change in the people they hang out with. Teenagers that come into the youth group, I can watch them many times, the ones that I've known to grow up in the church, when they begin to change the type of friends they hang out with, maybe they start making some bad decisions and the friends that they have, it begins to affect them and who they are. You know, it's a old saying I think most of us know as kids. People always say, you are what you eat. And if that was the case, my house, I would live with 3 chicken nuggets. Because our 3 kids love chicken nuggets. But they're not chicken nuggets. Because they're not what they eat. But you know what? You are the company you keep. We wind up becoming just like the people we allow to encompass us and be a part of our life. And I think it's interesting that Hebrews 12 opens up with a reflection on the previous chapter. He says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The writer says, listen, I just gave you an entire chapter of examples of great witnesses of God. Men and women who were just of the faith, living and walking a life that testifies of how we need to live our lives. Yeah, they weren't perfect. They made mistakes. But you know what? These were people. These are the kind of people you want to be encompassed by. These are the kind of people you want in your life. These testimonies are an example and encouragement to the believers. But why? Why did the writer put that in there? And it says this on your handout. I want you to get this statement. One man's character can have an effect on another's. One man's character can have an effect on another. Think of it in two ways. One, what's your character? How's your character affecting someone else? And whose character are you allowing to affect you? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17 on your handout, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible doesn't leave any gray here. It lets us know, hey, the people you surround yourself with, you're going to become just like them. And what I want us to see here, it's pretty interesting that the Apostle Paul, many times when he wrote to the churches, he encouraged them to be like-minded, or he simply told them, follow me. He told them to be like-minded or to follow him. Paul's character was one that the church was to follow and be sharpened by because of the testimony and the life that he had lived. Paul knew, and it says this in your handout, that the company you seek to surround yourself with will determine how you run the race of faith. Paul knew that if you surround yourself with the right company, then it's going to challenge you in your walk as a Christian, and it's going to better you if you put yourself with the right people. Just as a track runner would not go out, and someone who is training wouldn't go out and look to see, all right, let me find the laziest, the most unmotivated, and the sloppiest runners there are, and I'm going to run with them. Because I'm going to look pretty good compared to them. And I'm going to train with them. But what's going to happen? He's going to begin to run. Hey, this pace is fine because I'm ahead of them. And before long, you're right with the pack. And so what a runner that wants to really succeed and finish the race well is going to do is he's going to surround himself with people who are going to challenge him, who are going to maybe make him push a little bit further past his limit because they're a better runner. And so I want to be around those kind of runners so that I can become a better runner. And so as Christians, what we need to do is evaluate the people we spend the most time with. Are the people in your life people that are challenging you in your walk, challenging you in your prayer life, challenging you in your devotion time, challenging you in your, you know, going to church and studying God's Word? Are they the people that are surrounding you, the people that are saying, man, why do you put so much emphasis on God in your life? That's crazy. And you know, what happens is the people that we surround ourselves by change who we are. And so, it says in your handout, Philippians 3:17, I want you to get this. The Apostle Paul basically let them know that, hey, I'm setting the example. Why? Because I'm following Christ. He said, brethren, be followers together of me. Not individually. He wants them together to follow him. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul said, you need to have something to mark up to. Here. Follow my example. And we say, well, that's kind of prideful, but the reality is Paul also wrote that he wanted them to follow him because he first followed Christ. And so you need to make sure that the people you surround yourself with are people following Christ. It says in your handout that Christians must run the race of faith together as a team. You know, for sake of time, we won't go there and read it, but the book of Exodus, chapter 32, is an interesting story that deals with how a man that many times would say he wouldn't fall. Many times we have the same attitude. Hey, I can put myself around the wrong crowd. They're not going to affect me. I won't fall. I'm strong in my faith. But there was a man that God used in Exodus with Moses. Who knows who he was? Aaron. Somebody said it. And in Exodus, we have Aaron and Moses, and they're doing some great things for God. God is using him in a mighty way. And so what we see here in Exodus 32, though, is Moses comes down and finds Aaron doing something that infuriates him and God. Aaron has allowed the nation of Israel to convince him to create some golden idols for them to worship because they weren't sure Moses was coming back. And you know what? Here's the man that stood right there with Moses. And yet, because he spent a lot of time with that crowd, even they were able to influence his thinking and his actions to the point to where he told them, hey, give me all your gold, and he'll melt it down and make the idol. If you have time this week, I encourage you to go read that and see that, hey, we're not above falling when we put ourselves with the wrong people. So we've got to make sure that we surround ourselves with the right people. There's a verse here on the PowerPoint I want you to see, Hebrews chapter 10. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Notice it's a group. Let us, not an individual. This is for a group. Let us to hold fast. He said, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The kind of people I want to surround me are the people that are going to provoke me to love and to good works. Not to the opposite. I want the people around me that are going to challenge me and encourage me in those areas. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Not knocking them down, but picking them up. Encouraging them. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching, that finish line. Don't know when it is, but it's coming. And as we get closer day by day, that's what we need to surround ourselves with. That's what we need to make sure that we're running the race with, the right people. Run the race with the right people, and we'll be able to know that we're going to be able to endure that race to the end with a better effect on others. But secondly, what we need to make sure that we have, we can run that race with the right people, but we also need to run that race by throwing off every burden and sin. Throwing it away. Go back to Hebrews 12:1. In the second part of that verse, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lay it aside. That means to get rid of it, to put it away. We're given these days of our life to live it out to glorify God, but we're not guaranteed how many they are. And we surely don't have time to let things weigh us down. We surely don't have time to let burdens and weights in this life to hold us back. And back to the idea of a track runner. We could take two identical track runners. And to illustrate it, I'm going to have Pastor Larry and Brother Paul Peacock come up here for a minute. And let you stand right here. These are two fine specimens of a track runner. Let's just say both of these guys are an amazing talent and ability and run identical speeds. And we're going to have them run the 100-yard dash, okay? Now, if both of these guys were identical, they ran the same speeds, the same lap times, we would say they would finish the same race and they'd run it the same way. But let's do something different. Scotty, come on up here. It's one of our teens. You guys turn around for a minute. No, the other way. Face everybody. Scotty, come on over here. Brother Paul, Scotty's going to jump on your back. Get on there. Okay, don't knock him down. Good. You got them? All right. Now, given these guys can run the same track times, who's going to be more effective at running the race now? Pastor Larry. Brother Paul Peacock's got a little burden on his back. Scotty's a good guy. All right, you can get down, man. I think he's turning red. So, but you see what happens is, and you guys can be seated, thank you. What happens is in a race, the guy that is running the race without the weight and the burden on him, and let's say a track runner is wearing a backpack full of lead weights, he's not going to run the race as effective as the guy who has no weight and no burden on him. Well, let's tie that to our Christian life. How many of us try to run this life of faith carrying our burdens and our sin problems? You know what? We can't run as effective when we do that. And it says in your handout, weight only slows you down as a runner. And as a runner in this faith, if we allow the burdens of life and the things of sin to hold us back, it's only going to slow us down as a runner. And we'll lose the effectiveness of that race. The word weight in this verse from the Greek means a bulging load or burden. And that word beset we see there about the sin which so easily does beset us is from the Greek word that also means to frustrate. Now, hey, I could take a poll and I almost would guarantee it's 100% of how many of us have ever been frustrated by burdens, by sin, by anything else. You see, this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to put a backpack on us, spiritually speaking, and weigh us down so we can't run the race of faith effectively for the Lord. And so he wants to load that up on us. And in your handouts, a verse that should be familiar with you, 1 Peter 5:7. If you remember a few weeks back, Pastor Dan preached a message on the casting Christian. You know what? What we need to be casting is those burdens and those things that hold us back. And it says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? Say it with me. For he careth for you. And so we need to take those burdens and things and cast them and say, Lord, here, you take them. If he could bear my sins on the cross, he can bear my burdens. And so we need to make sure that we unload those so that we can make ourselves a better runner to glorify God in our lives here on earth. So we can reach the lost, so we can serve, so we can glorify Him in all that we do. And those sins that we have that encompass us, it says in your handout, God will carry the load so you can run a race that glorifies Him. Hey, you know, we all have sin problem. We all have it in common. We all have a sin problem. And Christ came so that we could have forgiveness of sins and he could pay the sacrifice for sin for us in our place. And so we need to give that to him also. And it talked about letting, it says, let us, okay, lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. Well, the other thing with those sins are is a lot of us have little sin problems that weigh us down. Little sin problems that get in the way of our ability to serve God. You know, for many years in my own life, when I was saved, I had a sin problem that kept me from serving in this church. I didn't want to teach the Bible in a Sunday school class. I didn't want to accept an opportunity to help out in the youth group at that point. All of those because there were sin issues in my life that I didn't want to get rid of yet. But you know what? They were holding me back from doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Man, how many of us, and we don't need a show of hands, but how many of us right now are holding back because there's something in our life that's related to sin that we are allowing to be in the way of serving God, reaching lost people. Many times a person won't go up and explain to somebody else how they can be saved because they feel too much guilt from their own sin in their life. You know what? God says, just give it to me. Christ died for your sins already, and he says, I want to carry the burden. I want to carry the load. And it says in your handout, right there on the bottom, you must cut the ties to sin habits. Cut them loose. Let them go. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Hey, the end could be near. We don't know. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We don't need to carry the load. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness and strife and envy. Hey, those are the burdens that we can bear that slow us down. But put ye on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh that ye are so that or to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, get rid of it so that you won't even be tempted by it. Let it go so that you can serve, so that you can glorify, so that you can tell, so you can reach others. And so to run the race of faith, the Christian's going to have to surround themselves with the right people. They're going to have to make sure they cut the burdens. But the difference between a good runner and a great runner is going to be number three. How do we become a great runner? By looking ahead to the joy of eternity. Looking ahead to the joy of eternity. I want you to look at Hebrews 12:2 with me. Hebrews 12:2. After we're told to run with patience the race that is set before us, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says this is what you need to do. Run with patience, and let me tell you where to look as you're running. It says look unto Jesus. Not just the author, the creator of your faith, but the author and the finisher. Jesus didn't only create the faith that you need to have, he also finished it. So you could put your faith and trust in his works, knowing that he's done it all. He finished it completely. You don't have to do anything else but put your faith and trust in him. He came and lived a perfect sinless life and gave his life up on the cross for the penalty of sin. so that you could have a relationship with him. He did every bit of it. He created the way, and he finished it. He endured through the entire race. A runner with no weight to carry can run a great race. However, if the focus is on not the joy found at the finish line, but on themselves, it's going to be difficult to finish. You know, it reminded me, and I told this to the first service, I've used it in the teens once or twice, but it's an illustration that woke me up one day. I was at the gym, and I am not a runner either, as Brother Larry and Brother Paul are not great runners either. We don't run marathons. We can run around, but that's about it for a short period of time probably. But I was at the gym, and I was trying to get in shape, and I thought, okay, I don't really care to run outside. I'll run on the treadmill. That's a cool idea. I can catch up on some news or can read while I'm running or whatever. And so I'm running on the treadmill at the gym, and I got that thing cranked up to a good, I don't know, 8 mile an hour or whatever it says on there, and I was trucking it. And something's interesting, if many of you have been in the gyms the last few years, in order to entice people in, they've done something. They've made it a little more comfortable to run because they give you something to watch. They put TVs in the gym. And so I'm running on a treadmill, and there's TVs, and for whatever reason, they don't put a TV in front of every treadmill. They just kind of space them out. And I happened to pick the treadmill that was in front of a TV. I could care less what was on. It was the only one available. But I was running at that 8 mile an hour, and I noticed something that caught my attention on ESPN to the monitor to my left. And I'm running on that treadmill as fast as I can, and I begin to watch whatever it was on ESPN. And next thing I know, I don't know if any of y'all have ever done it, but if you've ever run with your eyes closed or with your head turned, you ought to try it. There's a big grass field out there. I recommend using something with nothing around you to try running without your focus in front of you. This is what happened as I was running on the treadmill, and I'm watching ESPN. I begin to feel myself drifting to the side of the treadmill. Why I didn't stop, I don't know. Until my foot hit the part of the treadmill that doesn't go. So now my body is propelled forward into the railing, and I begin to fall. I grab hold of it. All along, all taking place, the poor lady next to me is frightened to death. I regain myself, and I get back up. You know, I'm running again, and she looks over and says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Sure, what happened?" "I don't know. I think somebody else down there had a spill." But all because I let my focus drift off of where I was going. Havoc came into that treadmill. Same thing with our Christian life, though. If we don't keep our focus on where we're going and the joy of eternity and Jesus Christ there at the finish line waiting for us, if our focus isn't there, there's no telling where we'll drift. But I can guarantee you'll drift if your focus is not on Christ. And so it says in your handout, to finish strong in the race of faith, you must run with your focus on the finish line. There's a verse in your handout, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, when Paul wrote to Titus there in Crete, and he said, looking for that blessed hope, he's telling him what you need to be focusing on, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where your eyes need to be. That's where your heart, your mind need to be. He told the Colossians on the screen in chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, if you know Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your focus, your mind, your heart, your desires on things above, not on things on the earth. You focus on the things on the earth, the house, the better car, the better, you know, lifestyle, whatever it is, you focus on those things, you're going to drift. And you're not going to run the race of faith effectively to glorify our Lord and Savior. We need to focus on that. And it can seem impossible to do, but you know what? Hebrews 12:2 gives us some encouragement because Christ has done it. In Hebrews 12:2, it said, looking unto Jesus. We don't only need to look unto Jesus, but He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's completed it. We don't have to do anything. He's done it. He's finished it. And we can look to Him knowing that it's been done. Now we can just follow His way. You know, Christ endured far more than any man is ever going to have to endure. On this earth, Christ went through far more than any of us will ever have to go through. Now, if we don't know Christ, there's an eternity of suffering awaiting. But for those of us that know Christ, this earth doesn't even compare to what He had to go through. You know what it says there in Hebrews 12, verse 3? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I said, hey, think about what Christ went through if you get tired and want to quit. And verse 4, I love this verse. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't been through anything that Christ has been through. He endured all that for you. What a motivating factor to run unto him. Run a race of faith seeking after Jesus Christ. The handout says the Christian has Jesus to look to when feeling tired and weary from living out the faith. Hey, I'm not going to stand up here and say the Christian life is easy. It's a breeze. No, there's times that you feel faint, like you're going to quit or give up or fail. But you know what? That's when we have Christ there to look forward to. It's almost like in the picture that was on the slide there in the beginning with the guys running to the finish line. And many times in my life when I think about running that race of faith, I think of not the finish line that's stretched out as a ribbon, but I think of Christ standing there waiting for me with his arms stretched out. And I'm running to him, and while I'm running to him, Lord, I want to serve you and glorify you and please you all the way, every step. Focused on him. And the more you set your mind on the life of Christ and what he has given to provide you that life, it provides a boost. Kind of like as that runner comes around that final corner of a 400-meter race, that last lap, he begins to get an energy boost, knowing that it's almost over. There's the end. I can see it. I can taste it. I'm almost finished. Well, the reality is we don't know when our race is over. We need to run and live every day as it's our final lap, coming unto the Lord. Life has its ways of getting everybody down and ready to give up. But it's the time when we look at Christ and realize he is the author and finisher of our faith. Since the cross, we've been living in a time of urgency. Paul thought Christ was going to return before he died, probably. The way that he wrote, he thought very surely he's going to be back. You know what? He had a sense of urgency, and we do today. And it says this in your handout. This is what we need to do today. As we walk out of this room, we need to set aside the desires of this world and seek to finish strong the race of faith.